You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're listening to Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors on The Sports Objective. Join Coach C, a USA Strength and Conditioning Hall of Famer, every Monday night to see in a variety of guests, including former players, former and current coaches, pastors, and others will discuss relevant issues in coaching today's athlete, with the goal of equipping the athlete and those coaching them with the physical, mental, and spiritual armor necessary to live their best life. Here's Coach Connors.
Welcome to show number 17. Today is going to be a very special show. We have Scott Bercher, who is a pastor of worship and congregational care at Covenant Church and also a part of our Armored Life team. And so welcome to the show today, Scott.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you, Coach. Excited.
Well, I'm very excited to have you. And I'm going to talk a little bit about armoredlife.org first, to kind of preface things here. Something that I started, felt like I had a calling to start a website to somehow maybe help athletes. I saw many athletes go by the wayside during my career. And I had this idea to start a website to basically provide information to athletes, to educate and toward a spiritual life, and also to edify in any way that we could think of, to provide prayer for those in need, and of course, provide an avenue to bring people to Christ. And then somehow I was contacted by the Sports Objective and asked if I was interested in doing a podcast. And so I agreed to do it if I could also pursue my objectives with armoredlife.org. And so this has enabled me to connect with highly successful people that have incredible testimony. And you are one of those people.
I'm low on the list.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But we met one day. It's just kind of God put you in my path. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And I was very excited about having you as part of this Armored Life team. And I really appreciate what you've contributed thus far with regard to that. So this is kind of like the Scott Bercher story.
Ooh.
And as I understand it, did you grow up in the Vanceboro area?
I grew up in Craven County. Of course, we have to go back farther to get the very beginning. Columbia, South Carolina, University of South Carolina. My father was on staff there when I was born. So all the way back to the early 70s at Columbia, South Carolina, where my father was the percussion, which I guess it, most people would know that's has to do with drums, but percussion instructor there at University of South Carolina. And so I grew up, my first 6 years of living were going to University of South Carolina football games, hanging out with the marching band. So that was the earliest influence of music and in my life and athletics really in my life. So then a move to a dairy farm in 1979, where my mother grew up in Craven County near Vanceboro, but in Cove City, which is geographically speaking, if on Highway 70 in between Kinston and New Bern, right off of Highway 70, a dairy farm there. That's where I got my start.
So I attended Covenant Church many times throughout the 90s.
Yes.
And became familiar with your father.
Yeah.
Because I am a garage drummer.
Yes, sir.
And
love it. I've seen the set. It's legit, man.
It's just
like Alex Van Halen up there, man.
It's been a hobby, basically, where I could kind of, I guess you could say, release some aggression from time to time. But I really enjoy the rhythm of life. I believe there's rhythm in life. I believe there's rhythm in strength training, weight training, speed development, running. People talk about the rhythm of an offense during a football game. I just believe that there is rhythm to life. And I've tried to actually incorporate that into my coaching At times I've had offensive line do paradiddles on a heavy bag, for instance. So not many people probably have done that.
Yeah.
Right, left, no. Right, right, left, right, left, left.
That's it. That's the basics, the fundamentals. Got to have them.
Gotcha. So talk a little bit about how you got interested in music.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah.
Then, you know, with your education, not only getting into music, but then also getting into praise and worship music. How did all this take place?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's pretty cool how God brings you full circle in your life. I grew up, like I said, I grew up with drums beating all around me at University of South Carolina. We did gravitate up here to North Carolina to move on the dairy farm, which my mother grew up on. My grandfather was having some health issues. And so my father left the University of South Carolina music man job to come up and work on a dairy farm for 10 years. So my father is a Philly man, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania guy, grew up there, didn't know anything about music or dairy farming, and learned all of that through the course of his education at University of South Carolina and East Carolina University, where my father was a music major there and went through the School of Music. And so it passed on through to my brother and myself, who we both fortunately picked up on some of the musical genes, have picked up on dairy farming and things on the farm and work ethic and athletics through school and through high school, mainly baseball and doing some light weightlifting. And then so the musical thing was passed on from our parents, really. My mother has been teaching piano in our home for over 50 years now. So it speaks to my age and my mother's age. I guess she's been teaching that long. It's such a blessing to hear piano playing over the course of my early years, on and on and on and on. And it was just such a great experience growing up in a musical family. My dad, like I said, played multiple instruments. My mother, piano. My brother plays a few instruments, and myself. And we actually, when we moved to North Carolina when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, we actually started going to these little churches around Eastern North Carolina and Sunday night services or whatever, having the singing birchers or whatever come into the churches. And so that's kind of the way it was. Although I did not sing until I was actually at University of Mount Olive, which I guess we transitioned into there pretty soon after that point. But didn't sing, just played some instruments, music, mostly percussion, played some keyboard. And just, I didn't love it, Jeff, because we're going into churches and I was kind of a little bit rebellious, like a lot of people, it's pretty common to kind of go your own route when you get into middle school and high school, and I'm no exception. I kind of went and did what everybody else was doing, didn't really have a strong faith walk. I was actually baptized when I was 10 years old. So I believe that I was baptized, but I did not have a relationship with Jesus as I know that today. So that's kind of the early stages of the music influence and the early stages of my really Christian influence that Christ made in my life. And so I just kind of did that through. I was actually, I excelled in band. You know, that's not the most popular thing to say. You know, when you're in high school, you excelled in band, but was nominated for McDonald's All-American in band. And, you know, a lot of guys that you're going to have on this show were McDonald's All-American athletes, where I did play sports and things in high school. The music route was definitely what came the most natural to me. And so I left mostly athletics in college for just kind of doing music, and didn't know where that would lead me, Jeff. You know, when I went to the University of Mount Olive and did not really know what I was going to do with my life even then. I didn't want to teach. My father was great influence on music, but he was a professor of music. He taught in schools. I didn't think I wanted to be a teacher. I felt like that was all that you would do with a music degree, honestly. So I pursued a degree in recreation and leisure studies, you know, did a RLS sports management emphasis, and didn't do a whole lot with that when I graduated. Actually had an opportunity right out of college in 1995 to go start touring around the nation singing gospel music. So that was kind of my start into full-time ministry, was singing in a gospel group, living in up near Columbus, Ohio for a couple of years, and then transitioned to where my father was after that, and got married in 1998 to my beautiful wife, Emma, who was Emma Thomas, a pirate through and through with her whole family, or the Thomas family. I think they all went to ECU, so we had this gravitation to Greenville. She was going to Covenant Church, where you already mentioned my father, Jack Bircher, was the music director at that time. So it's pretty interesting how God brings you back around, back home, back to your roots. My dad was here, director of music. I came, got involved at Covenant with the music ministry. And my wife was already singing, my wife-to-be at that time was already singing in the choir with my father directing. And he had a lot to do with, hey, do you remember Emma Thomas from West Craven High School? And kind of did a little matchmaker with us. And it was really cool to see how we were engaged within 8 weeks of reintroducing ourselves to each other and got married in that same year. So it was meant to be, and it happened fast, and still at Covenant, still involved with music. So that's the short of it.
The former mayor of Greenville is your brother-in-law. Is that correct?
Yeah, Alan Thomas, very strong influence in the pirate land. Yep, Alan is my brother-in-law, and Scott Thomas is his brother, who's the DA in Craven, Pamlico, and Carteret County. So they have influence over at ECU. I think they were both really heavily involved there. And Bren is Emma's other brother. I think he went to ECU. So it runs deep. It runs deep.
Gotcha.
For sure.
What are some of the things that you have done at West Craven High School? I know that you've been involved there with the athletes.
Yeah. Going back to my roots again, I didn't want to leave that place the way I left it the first time, which when I graduated high school, Jeff, coach, I had not much initiative at all, really, for life. I didn't have the grades to immediately go to college. So I went to a community college, which I highly recommend. If you don't know where you want to go, community college is a phenomenal, phenomenal gateway into anything else you want to do in life. So I went to a community college, Lenore Community College in Kinston, for a semester. And so that's where I kind of moved in right after high school. And so I thought, you know what, I want to go back to West Craven one day, but I want to do it right. So got involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, phenomenal ministry worldwide, but here in North Carolina, have been involved from really in this Eastern North Carolina, going into schools, and then got really plugged in about 10 years ago with David Wall as our area director here. And of course, Johnny Evans, great Wolfpack man. He's up in Raleigh area. It's kind of under his leadership in this part of the state, and got involved at West Craven High School about 10 years ago in West Craven Middle School. And we've just seen tremendous growth. What an amazing opportunity to get into the schools that Fellowship of Christian Athletes has that avenue. And yeah, I'm there every week trying to encourage those kids to look to Jesus like I didn't do when I was their age. If we could go back and do it again, right? You know, so
yeah,
it's great to get back every weekend to the school.
So tell me a little bit about the responsibilities and duties as a pastor of worship and congregational care.
Yeah, absolutely. I did get involved with the music pretty soon after coming back to Greenville. Like I said, I was involved leading worship, playing in the band at Covenant until 2005. Covenant was developing a Saturday opportunity to worship on Saturday. We do that for people that work on the weekend. We have a medical community that can't always get away on a Sunday to worship. So that was one of the reasons. Also, there was a little overflow deal there on Sunday mornings at Covenant, and it just seemed like God was leading us to open up another opportunity during the week. And so as of July of 2005, I was hired full-time by Covenant to help really with the development of that initiative for Saturday worship. And here we are 17 and a half years later with that's still going on. We do not have a separate Saturday, Sunday service. It's all the same service that Pastor Branson Sheets has been here since 2005 as well. And he delivers the message and the word that God gives him on Saturday at 5:30, just like he does Sunday at 9:15 and Sunday at 11. So it's a great opportunity for people that go and worship at another congregation on Sunday if they want to come, and or if they have responsibilities at another church that they really can't just worship and just be in the presence of the Lord, and they can come on Saturday. So that was my beginnings, and that's what I've kind of been involved with music since 2005, or since 1997 when I came back. But on a full-time basis, it's been music ministry. And then the congregational care, I just love people. I love the small groups. I love visiting at the hospital and in home visits and sending notes to congregation. I think it just comes natural, and I love doing that. So I was invited on to be a part of that team that kind of helps with congregational care. And so I've been involved with that as well. And that's been just as, if not as much, rewarding as playing music. So it's all an act of worship.
Well, if you, what I wanted to mention as far as giftedness is concerned, it seems like the most popular programs that people like to watch on television now are AGT, The Voice, and American Idol. Those programs have become extremely popular.
They're popular.
I enjoy watching them because I'm all about the overachiever, you know, and to see someone discover themselves is definitely, I guess you could say, entertaining to me, but I also, you know, become impressed and appreciative of that as well.
Sure.
But the gift of song is something that's pretty big as far as people recognizing those who have that gift. And unfortunately, I don't have it.
Oh, come on, man.
So when I go to church and everybody's singing, I kind of pantomime.
Yeah.
And you know, what do guys like me do when we go to church? Can't sing. Expectation there?
Hey, man, that is a great question. We've talked a little bit about this. I just believe the call to come together and worship. Now, worship, well, we could get into this for hours and hours. You know, worship is not music. Music is an expression of worship, but worship is not equivalent to worship. So music and worship do coincide and coexist, but so the worship experience, I believe, we're just called to gather together. Hebrews, there's a book in the New Testament for those not listening that aren't as familiar with the Bible, but the book of Hebrews talks about don't forsake the gathering together. And I believe that we to gather together means, hey, I care enough about other people to come and gather with them. And it may be a relationship sparks. You might get into a small group because of as a result of you going to a larger gathering and a corporate worship experience. I believe that that's the important part, and receiving a message and a word from the Lord. And that's huge, of course, and to worship through praise. There's a scripture that I don't know if we want to go there right now, but Psalm 8 is just one of my favorite psalms. And it starts out by saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So there's majesty in our God. So, okay, we that means that he's above everything else. Say, oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then it goes on to talk about through the praise of your children, you put a stronghold against the enemy and dumbfound the enemy when we praise. So I'm paraphrasing that the second and third verses of that psalm. The gist of it is when we praise, not only does it elevate the majesty of our God, so it takes us off the throne and puts him on it, but it also gives us this avenue of peace. The enemy, who is the devil, we know him to be the devil or Satan, is running rampant in our world today. And when you praise, good, bad, or indifferent, the way it comes out of your mouth, when you do praise, it silences the enemy. God actually puts a stronghold up against the enemy so that he can't do anything to you when you praise. So it doesn't say praise in tune. It doesn't say praise with the certain melody and harmony. It says to praise. So whatever that is coming out of you, it should stir from whatever's inside of you to come out. That's what I love to, that's the way I like to say it for guys that, you know, football players. I mean, there's football players that can sing great, but I'm just saying that persona that, you know, somebody's just going to stand there, you know, do something. You can read the words, mouth the words, you know, what's in our heart should come out, and, you know, believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth. Believe there is a connection with what you believe and what you say. And so come into church and say those words. I believe that that's just as important, you know, as we praise God. You don't have to be in tune. Go into a section. Hey, there should be a section in church where it's like you sound good and you know it. You don't sound good and you know it. Sections in church, you know, that way everybody that sounds horrible would just sit in the same section and it wouldn't matter. Right? It's a joyful noise anyway. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody come up with that, not me.
Well, yeah. It seems to be, you know, we have a lot of different denominations in the Christian faith, and it seems to be a commonality among all denominations that there's some form of musical praise and worship.
Yeah.
When you look at some of the churches that are more traditional, of course, you've got the old hymns. Mm-hmm. A lot of which I grew up with.
Yeah, me too.
Basically have an organ and everyone is singing. And, right. You know, you don't have I didn't see a whole lot of solos growing up.
Right. Yep.
And then you had the, I guess you could say the Christian music movement with younger folks. Even getting into Christian rap with the, you know, a person like Toby Mac, for instance. And I really like listening to gospel music and choirs as well. Yeah. I basically like every kind of music, but yeah. I love to go to church and hear someone get up and sing who can actually sing very well.
Yes.
And it amazes me throughout the churches that I've been to over the years, over many years, looking at these shows, American Idol and The Voice and so forth. I mean, to me, you can almost find at least one person in every church that I think that could get on there and compete.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of people around with this giftedness. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to see the churches find them and let them get up and you know, and sing.
Sure, yeah.
Because then we can all appreciate their gift.
That's right.
But what do you have to say about, obviously, there's been some criticism over the years and people reluctant from some of these more traditional churches. Certainly. You go in there and say, well, you know, we don't have guitars and drums and so forth and trumpets and whatever. But is there still some degree of disagreement there, or what? Give me your perspective on that.
Yes. And Coach, I'm kind of in the middle because I'm old enough to have grown up with the hymns, appreciate the richness of the lyric in hymns and the arrangements of hymns. I'm all about that. I'm also kind of young enough to have been a part of a church that did have some progressive, more congregational singing. You know, that though it, to me, I appreciate both, like you, There are some that prefer, and we all prefer. However, in the church setting that we've already mentioned, that assembly and gathering of worshipers, you're going to have, you know, all kinds of personalities that come in with all kinds of perceptions and wants as far as style musically. It's just, it will always be a conversation in the church. However, I believe that my take, kind of being in between the two, I love all styles of music. I believe that when I come into the church house, when I come to worship, I need to be surrendered and humble myself to style, because it's not style. It is the attitude of my heart to be able to, let me preface this. Yes, when it sounds good, it is easier for me to be able to just worship God. That's another conversation for excellence in church. And I'm not sure we want to talk about that. But stylistically, I do believe we need to just prepare our hearts before we get into this corporate space and say, God, whatever I hear today, whatever style of music, let it not stop me from your presence or getting into your presence. You know, it's not about the style. I mean, if the words are just weird, you can't get into the theology of what's being said, I understand that. But there will never be a perfect church because there are people in it. We know that. So no one out there be deceived. You will never find a perfect church because people are in it. And so don't let style drive you away. I do love to mix up styles when I'm putting a worship set together. I love him. I do love to incorporate hymns in my set, but I also believe that it does not resonate with people that are younger than me. So does it, my style going to drive what I do, or am I going to open myself and my heart up to, hey, how can I freshen up me and offer another opportunity for someone else in another style? So
yeah,
fortunately, we're able to do that here in this congregation. And I gravitate more to the mix and the blend of styles, just to not say, hey, I'm only going to do this. I just feel like God loves it all. He wants us to offer what we have.
Yeah. Well, I love the tempo of gospel music because it kind of makes you want to get up and dance a little bit. So I love that tempo.
I do too, man.
Let's get into a little bit of scripture here.
Yeah.
I like Colossians 3:16.
Yeah.
Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs.
Yeah.
In the Spirit, yep. Singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So what we're saying here is we're teaching and admonishing through praise.
Yeah. I mean, you started it out with it, though, you know. What did the first part say about the word, right? Was the first part talk about scripture or the word?
Well, let the message of Christ dwell among you.
Yeah. Let the message is the word, because John 1:1 says in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. So the message is the word. And I believe that the word is the most important part of our assembling together. Music, greeting people, children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry. I believe that the word of God, which is God, is the essential part of that. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. That means read the word, memorize the word, study the word, so that you can share the word and admonish, teach. And sing psalms, spiritual songs. All that comes to me, you know, from the top, which comes through the word. Let that word dwell in you. So we have to be in the Word to fulfill that, even that one verse.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about Psalms in general?
Yeah, I'm not like the most knowledgeable on the Psalms, and I know that many of the Psalms were literal songs sung. So, you know, the psalmist would write, and of course we know that David had musical ability. I think it's well documented that David did play before the Lord, and we know that he danced before the Lord. So he had some groove to him. We know that he's a good example of song and dance and all the things that, I mean, I'm not going to be dancing up in there, but, you know, I do get the music element and how David was a great example. And he wrote many of the Psalms, and I believe that they were put to tunes. And I think that that is an important element. I'm not the most knowledgeable about which Psalms and if they were sung, if they were not sung, but I think that the Psalms are so important for us to read and meditate on. And you'll see at the beginning of Psalms, depending on your translation, most of them should have a note there at the beginning of the Psalm, whether it was to the tune of, you can see that in some Psalms, where it's almost, this was a known tune that they sang this Psalm to. It's pretty interesting to look at the Psalms and you see the beginning. Some of your manuscripts or versions would have what that Psalm, was it sung? Was it said? Was it, you know, in the psalmist, David, and just the different ideas of each Psalm. Some of them are listed at the beginning of those. But I love the Psalm. Psalm 150, phenomenal Psalm on praise and praising with cymbals and instruments and trumpets and harps, and it's pretty cool that the stringed instruments and all. I mean, that's old school. That's thousands of years of print that talks about praising with all the different ways, you know, that we can praise. I love Psalm 150.
When you have young people that get into music or have an interest in music and learning how to play an instrument or singing, mm-hmm. and so forth, do you have some type of lesson plan, for instance, where you would educate them as to the power of praise and worship so they know the value of what they're about to learn?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that has been part of my job here at Covenant for the past little bit, is trying to empower and equip the younger generation in music. And so if it's me working with them on some instrumentation or vocals, We do that here for the young people and for getting into children's ministry, student ministry, and beyond, being worship leaders here at Covenant, and the different avenues that they can do that. It starts with the source. The teaching starts with the source. There's resource and there's source. So we start with the source is God has given you this gift, right? So God is the maker, creator of all things. He wants us to steward resource well, but he is the source. And so we have to say, hey, if you want to be and do this here, this is God given. So we want to honor God and give him glory with your gift. And so, yeah, I start out lesson number one, learn the source. And that is having a relationship with the Lord, I think, is the essential and most important part of a walk with him, is knowing him and having a relationship with him, because he is the source. And then we go to the resource of learning your instrument, rehearsing, playing, training, as we do in athletics, training, repetitions, chord structure, warming up the pipes, vocalizing, just everything that it takes. As a resource, we start with the source. And so we definitely say, hey, first of all, how's your relationship with the Lord? Let's develop that and do some discipleship so that we learn why we do what we're doing here in church or any church setting. So, yeah.
So when you get out of Mount Olive, you said you were in a some type of group, right?
Well, I wasn't like in an official group type thing, but that's where I started the singing. Like when we, I believe that Mount Olive had just finished a nice cafeteria addition in the early 90s. So we had a nice dining hall with sound system and piano. And I started kind of venturing out and not being as subtle about my skill, I guess, there at University of Mount Olive. I did not perform in a group there because I was coming out of a rebellious time in my life, like middle school, high school. I was still dabbling and still not fully committed to Christ until actually my senior year at University of Mount Olive. And then, you know, I graduate and then get involved with this group afterward and start really developing in my relationship with the Lord and with the musical skill and things.
Well, what were some of the things that made you want to make a change?
You know, I knew the way, you know, the scriptures say, you know, when we train our children in the ways of the Lord, that is seeds being planted in their lives. Whether you see it right now or 10 years from now, that seed will come up, and you pray for people to come in and water that seed and till work the ground in that soul and in that heart. And that's what happened to me. The seeds were planted early in my life, but it wasn't until I met a guy, his name is Mike Price, and he's my first spiritual mentor. And he took me, and I was a senior in college. He had just graduated, and he said, "Hey, let's hang out." And we did. We enjoyed hanging out together, but it was all a ploy from him to grow me spiritually. Like he had an agenda in mind, and that's what we have to have with people, is we have to have discipleship in mind, evangelism and discipleship in mind when we're interacting with people. We have no idea how long we have or they have. And so intentionality is what this guy had for me. And that was when I was a senior. And so all the seeds that were planted in years past, Coach, you know, he was helping water those. And then they just started sprouting. And I said, I've got to take off and do this. And the music part was kind of my route to do that.
Gotcha. Well, I was thinking that you could go ahead and bless us with something, and then we can talk a little bit more, and maybe you can hit us with a second one. To the week of Christmas here, go ahead and hit us with something.
Yeah, I can do it. I'm happy to.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
I can stop there, I can go.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I love, hey man, I'm more comfortable singing than I am talking, actually.
I hear you, man. Yeah, I can't wait to get out there and go shopping today, brother, you know.
Come on. Get you in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. So Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
I really love that scripture too.
Yes.
Because it talks about interacting, you know, with hymns and song.
Yes.
And anything you want to add there?
Yeah, absolutely. It still goes back to the source. You know, I mean, we can sing all we want to. And I honestly, Jeff, Coach, I went to Nashville, Tennessee to visit one of my best friends for over 25 years now. I just got back and got to see some people there when I was out in the music business. And that was great. And I love them. But man, there's something about when you sing to the Lord and you're in the spirit when you're singing. It music moves us. I get it. It does move us. And the emotions tied into music are phenomenal. And God created that. And whether people acknowledge that in their giftedness, they're still great musicians, whether they acknowledge it or not. But there's something about when the Spirit of God, when people recognize the Spirit and the glory and the majesty of our God, when they sing, there's, to me, nothing like it, because he puts an anointing on that music. And I just feel like that's just psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is something in scripture that we're supposed to do with the resource, with the stringed instruments, with our voice, with our gifts and our talents. And I appreciate people going and playing and making money and being able to have resources because of their gifting. But I've never been the guy to just go out and play anywhere. I don't have enough space in my life. And hey, we probably don't have time for this today, but you said rhythms of life. And that is my jam right now, is rhythms of life and paying attention to the space that I put in my life. What space I allow in, what do I allow in the space of my heart and my soul? It's been driving me for the past little while now. And I have more peace in my life than I have probably my adult life, because of the shutting down of things that don't matter and things that were just filling dead space in my life, and refilling that with things that feed my heart and feed my soul. And so, yeah, I don't want to feed it with learning just songs that are random. I just don't want to fill space with that. So anyway, yeah, that might be another podcast, Rhythms of Life.
Well,
but
dude, I'm really happy to hear you expound upon that a little bit. I think that's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the activities that Covenant Church has moving forward through Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a couple of things going on this week. We do have a campus in Little Washington, Beaufort County. Love that campus. Great little place over there at the old Washington High School. I believe Dominique played some basketball in that gym. It's got some age on it. So we meet over there at the Transitions Building, 230 East 8th Street there in Washington. We have a Friday night service, which is Christmas Eve Eve on the 23rd. And so we are meeting there at 6 o'clock, and that'll be a service there in Washington. And then here at the Greenville campus on Saturday night, Christmas Eve, of course, we have a 2 o'clock service, 5 o'clock and 7. And man, I may be wrong, but you can always go to covenant.cc, covenant.cc, to learn anything you want to know about what's coming up this week and beyond. But super excited about mission work. The offering that will be taken up will be directly going to mission. So we have two or three ministry missions partners that all that money is going to be going to this week.
Well, Covenant certainly has been a very powerful church in Greenville over the years. I don't know how many members you have, but there's got to be a bunch.
Well, not sure. You know, it ebbs and flows, and I'm just thankful that we've been able to continue to reach people for the gospel and partner with other churches. You know, Ignite is right here up the road. I'm pointing to it. Right. You know, we have a great relationship with Ignite. All these churches here in Greenville, we love to partner because we are all one church. Unity is paramount, for sure.
Gotcha. Just one more scripture. Coming out of Psalms 105:2. Sing to him, sing praise to him, and tell all his wonderful acts. And then goes on to list a few things here. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power, for his surpassing greatness. And then talking about with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp, with timbrel. What is timbrel? That's a new one on me.
No, I don't. I played the timpani in school.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Jack that one. I'm not sure about the timbrel.
And dancing and with strings and pipe, the clash of cymbals, resounding cymbals. And also going over to Psalm 98, 1 through 7, going down to 7 here. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell there within. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. So that's pretty powerful there.
It's powerful because it talks really about the whole world really does celebrate the goodness and the power and the majesty of God. It is, you know, the scripture, you know, if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. I think it really ties in well with our call and responsibility to live a life of praise and to live a life of worship. But man, those scriptures are so rich in the theology of praise. You know, it's not really a request, but honestly, it's something that we all are called to do. So, and then pass it on to from generation to generation. That's what my parents did for me. You know, Emma and I we do that for Matt and Maggie, our two kids, where they're both musically inclined. And Maggie is actually wanting to pursue music in her life. So it's really, really neat to be able to, you know, to kind of emphasize that praise life to your family and to the generations to come.
Absolutely. Well, we want to wish everybody a great holiday and find somebody to lift up if you can.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever ways that you can, but may say a few things after your next tune here, but in closing, but I don't know what you want to go with, you know. Everybody's favorite. One of my favorites is "Mary, Did You Know?" I don't know how much you know about with that one, but you talked about "Oh, Come Let Us Adore."
Yeah, I think that might be. I think "Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him." If that's cool with you, "Mary, Did You Know?" is quite wordy. I hadn't sung that in a few years.
Hey, whatever you want to go with, brother.
Yeah, let's do. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, for you alone are worthy. For you alone. For you alone are worthy, Christ the Lord, and we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. Christ the Lord.
Awesome, brother. Really appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. Thank
appreciate
you so much.
Appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. So thankful for yes, you. Sir. Bless you and your family and your new grandchild.
Yeah.
It'll be a great Christmas for you, no doubt.
Well, we want to lift our hands up to where our help is coming from.
Yes, that's right. Our help comes
from. Let those burdens, let them fade away.
Yes.
This is Jeff Connors signing off for Absolute Empowerment. God bless you and see you next week. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors on The Sports Objective. Join us every Monday night for a new edition of the show. Listen to the show pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Be sure to follow us on social media at The Sports OBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at The Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!